Do you think the plants react to this too? The little seeds germinating? Go out there and play some encouraging, happy music just to help sprout and root?
They might.
They might. Hey, can't hurt. You never know.
Hey, I've got...
What's that commercial say? It's only on, crazy if it doesn't
depends
work.
Depends on if you play in the ASU fight song or the U of A fight song, though.
I have a whole new opinion of artificial turf. I've been gaining respect for it over the last several years. Mm-hmm. Our high school ripped their entire field out and put the entire thing... It is the most gorgeous football field.
Well, I think that is a good use for it. I mean, that's got to cut down on maintenance and watering and
a lot of
expenses. Plus, it looks good. Most high school football fields by the last game or two of the year just don't look very good.
It sure don't look like the field we played on. Yeah.
Make sure the booster club gets that note about less expense because they're not acting like it.
Well, the going in cost is not, is huge.
Romy, if we hadn't had the Harper boys on our high school football team, we wouldn't have had a field. Harper's was out there.
That rock pile was the Chaparral football field when we were there,
The Harpers were out there all the time spreading this and spreading that and giving Coach Dawson some supplemental this, supplemental that.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. If you'd like to get on the line with any kind of landscape or gardening question, or as we've been talking lawns, I actually have a lawn question. What am I supposed to do now? It's been so wet, I haven't been able to mow for a week and a half. But and it's
that sounds like an excuse to me.
It's taller than. It's taller than my blade, so I'm not sure. I think I may just turn the goats loose.
Maybe
for a
just bale
days.
It. Yeah. No, that's not a bad idea.
Sarah, welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Real good.
All good.
So, Rosie, first of all, I have used your referral network on several occasions at my home, and thank you very much for that service. I have a John Jay question.
Great.
I have a flood irrigated lawn in central Phoenix, and I'm experiencing oleander scorch.
Okay.
And I've done some research. I don't feel that it's curable, but I could be wrong. And I'm wondering what you recommend. I have about 300 feet of mature oleanders.
Well, oleander scorch, if you in fact have that, is viral. It's vectored or spread by an insect, generally a glassy wing sharpshooter.
Scorch doesn't mean sunburn, because that's where my mind went.
They call it scorch because it looks like it's been scorched, and it's not insect damage. It's the virus that's spread by the insect.
Got it.
Okay. And since it is a virus, there is no cure. Okay. So the only thing you can do is destroy the plants. If you can get ahead of it, I suppose, and get rid of them before it spreads to other ones, perhaps. I think by and large, the recommended antidote or cure is to remove the oleanders and replant. You could always replant oleanders and hope it doesn't happen again.
You could plant a masonry block wall.
Okay. This is a garden show. That's next hour if you want the block wall. Sour orange makes a great hedge. Japanese privet. Common myrtle is sometimes kind of a forgotten, 10 to 12, maybe 15 foot tall plant, grows fast. So there are some options that would not be susceptible to the scorch if you wanted to change it out with something else.
And the scorch is kind of new to me. It kind of hit 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And it really hit that central Madison district area really hard.
It has not seemed to move from the central Phoenix corridor very much. And frankly, haven't heard a lot of it about it in the last few years. So
kind of corrected itself somehow a little ways.
Well, as viruses do, they run their course, and certain plants are resistant. They may or may be resistant to it. So it will. It's pretty much stayed in that central Phoenix corridor.
Yeah, my memory says it was 5 or 6 years ago. It was just, we were just losing hedge after hedge after hedge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, there's some great options for you, Sarah. We appreciate the call. Sorry about
masonry.
It. No one ever likes to tear out plants. That's probably my weakest point as a gardener, is I leave those plants in. I mean, our watermelon vine had been dead 3 weeks, and it was still hard to pull it out. Come on, baby, just give me one more watermelon. But it's, you know, sometimes you just got to pull it out, whether it's a garden or an oleander, and start fresh. Let's see if we can help Mike in Tucson on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Now, I'm in a new house, and I'm planting a new garden in a place where there wasn't one before. And
that's great. Congratulations.
I've put in gardens before where there wasn't one, but this is the hardest, most alkaline clay I have ever tried to go through in my life. And the garden was pretty much a failure this year. So I'm going to go ahead, and I just want to put up some planter boxes and fill it with a whole bunch of good dirt instead of trying to mix up the stuff that I've already got. But what are my considerations for how I want to build that planter box out of?
The considerations would be, do you want it out of wood? Do you want it out of masonry?
No. Yes.
Where is it? What's it going to look like? Does it need to be attractive? Is it on the side of the house where nobody sees it? So we can maybe follow up after the break and go into this a little bit.
Let's go on a soapbox on this right after the bottom of the hour break. Planter boxes.
An open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. We also have another John in Tucson, Mike in Scottsdale, all in queue.
Download show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.